Welcome to the Down About Down podcast from County Down, Northern Ireland, with your host Chris Scott, for your ears only.
Welcome along to another edition of the Down About Down podcast with me, your host Chris Scott. Thank you again for lending me your ears, and in this episode I'm in conversation with no stranger to this programme, it's Killaloe artist Darren Doxy Leahy, aka Doxy, yeah, who's just launched that new exhibition titled A Wee Dander, and it's down at the St Patrick Centre in Downpatrick, here right in the heart of County Down. Doxy describes it in his own words as places I'm going and things I have seen, walks I took part in, and places I've been. If you remember, Doxy was in conversation with me last in earlier this year in June, and he chatted to me about his then art exhibition in the Dufferin Coaching Inn and Hall in Killaloe. And he had opened that exhibition up to other local artists and artists from his happy little art club, some of whom had never ever exhibited before. And the proceeds from one of the raffles of his paintings at that exhibition benefited the Well charity over in Kilkeel in County Down, a charity close to Doxy's own heart. You'll remember in early podcasts, Doxy had told me all about his career, and he had dreamt of always having that exhibition, but he always felt that his paintings were never up to standard and would never be good enough. I remember he told me, I thought my paintings weren't good enough and it wasn't worth it. And there was a time when things in his life had slipped very, very badly, and he had reached his lowest point. He sought help for that, his severe depression and anxiety, and you know what? He managed to change his life around and continued his journey in that new direction. That new direction is taking a temporary stop-off point in this journey, and just for the month of October, he's stopping off at the St. Patrick Centre, and that's located at St. Patrick Square, Market Square in Downpatrick. And that place is described as the only permanent exhibition in the world about St. Patrick. Yes, of course, Ireland's patron saint. So here's Doxy to tell us all about his latest adventure.
Chatting with Chris on the Down About Down podcast.
The St. Patrick Centre, situated at 53 Out Market Square in Downpatrick. Yes, I've been there numerous times, brilliant exhibitions in that particular centre. And over the last few months, over the last three, 4 months, and probably throughout the time of the history of the St. Patrick Centre, they always feature artists. So it's a little part of the exhibition that they allow local artists and artists from further afield to demonstrate their works, exhibit their works. None less than the Belfast artists, Anne Feely and Fionnuala Duffin, Tommy Barr from Banbridge was there recently. And I think in August I recognised Pauline McAteer's name. She's a Belfast-born artist dealing in flowers and floral art and so on. A lot of these people have been like Royal Society of Artists. They're linked in to BA Honours degrees and the College of Art and Design. A lot of background in art and have exhibited there. One person I'm going to go to is a local artist, and I don't mean this in a demeaning way, but you're not a member of any arts faculties or anything like that. You haven't been to the university, only the University of Life. But my goodness, what amazing paintings you're putting out at the minute. Doxy Leahy, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Chris. Yeah, thanks for having me.
I don't know if you understood what I was trying to say there. Doxy, you know, there's a lot of, I don't mean recognised artists. These people have a big background in art and have been trained and things like that. And you have grew up in Killaloe here in the town. And now you're exhibiting in the Downpatrick Centre. Wow.
Yeah, it's been, you know, in fact, if anything, your introduction has actually brought it home to me more, you know. It's a little bit nerve-wracking. A little bit nerve-wracking, but an honour, I suppose, to be hanging in the galleries where a lot of great artists have hung their work in there and their wares. So yeah, it's a bit nerve-wracking, okay.
You keep saying it's nerve-wracking, but we were talking in June and you had an exhibition. You held a local exhibition here and you brought other local artists in, some recognised and some never really ever exhibited before. And what a success that was. And before that, I remember you were in the Dufferin Coaching Inn as well. You were doing there in the local library. And every time you said to me, it was nerve-wracking and nerve, but surely you must be in a place now where you don't need to be nervous anymore. And I mean, I've noticed some comments on your Facebook page that, what are you worrying about? You've so much talent, you've nothing to worry about.
Yeah, it doesn't stop you worrying. I think that you will, if you lose that, you know, this sense of are you worthy? You know, that self-criticism, self-doubt. I've said many times that the worst person to be critical of you is yourself. And, like, for example, today was no exception. You know, I was up and down like a yo-yo. And I wonder, will they like this? Will they do that? And it's not that you don't believe the people when they tell you that your work's good. It's you don't believe yourself. You know, you'll always find that little bit of self-doubt. And I think that's what makes you part human, you know, partly keeps you grounded, is you don't get away, you know, away ahead of yourself, or you don't get above your station, as the man says, without actually keeping yourself in a station. You know, I've had people, artists, come to me and say, you're doing better than I am, as if I don't want to be able to say that. You know, you're doing better than I am, as if there's disbelief that you can actually do better than a well-established artist. I think you're losing humanity there, and or humility, whenever you're making statements like that. And I think a little bit of self-doubt, noticing how I react, which I did today very much, noticing little things like that, and just trying to keep your feet on the ground. Like I say, I'm trying to look at it as a little bit of self-doubt is grounding. But yes, I'm in the St. Patrick's Centre having an exhibition. The local exhibitions, you know, you have more people that know you and support you, and they say they're coming. Whereas I think it's the great unknown, where, you know, I was asked to do an exhibition there when I did my first one in Killaloe. You must come here. And I booked it, I think it was in February, and nearly almost forgot about it, and phone went, yes, you are, and, you know, this is what we need from you. And I'm going, oh, right. In a way, I was sort of hoping they would forget, but yeah. I think that it's the unknown variables that you can't plan for. You know, it's opening, Facebook's Facebook. Everybody supports your page, and I'm very fortunate to have a really good support base on my Facebook page. But there's going to be so many more strangers going in through there, and you're worried of, will they like it? You know, and it shouldn't be, you know, it shouldn't be about that for me, but I think it just keeps my feet on the ground worrying a little bit about it, or a lot.
But you say, will they like it? Look, I've been to your exhibition. I've looked along, and one of the first ones I remember, there was a high percentage were all sea scenes. Mm-hmm. And then you started to come away from that. You started to do more landscapes. You know, you started to specialise, and little bits and pieces starting to come through those. So, yeah, I mightn't like seascapes, but you have such a variance of things now. So you can't say, I can't, honestly, and I'm not just blowing smoke up the, the proverbial way people talk about that. I'm going to say it in the podcast, but, you know, there will be something there that someone likes. You know, everyone will like something. They mightn't necessarily like your sea. They mightn't be into that. There might be more. You know, so I think you have to look at it like that as well. You're covering a lot of topics in this one, I believe.
Yes, this one, there's a lot of local scenes. There's some scenes, places where I've haven't been, places that I have been and stuff. Some have a little figure in them of the Dandern man, which sort of came from somewhere. There's seascapes in it. There is countryside scenes in it. There's trees, and I think it was exploring people for a start. I couldn't painting people. I found struggling. I struggled with painting people, and people were asking me, "Why don't you put a figure in it? Why don't you put a dog in it?" And then, of course, you realise that you're actually, when you're teaching people to do your art with the mindfulness art classes that I do, when you're teaching people, you tell people to step out of your comfort zone. That's how you learn. And I wasn't doing it myself. You know what I mean? So I painted it, a painting with the first guy in it, and I did the painting first of all without the guy in, and I went, that's missing something. And it was a figure, and I knew it was a figure. So I painted a figure in, and he gradually got better and better and better and better. And then I went, oh, I could paint this in local scenes, places I've been. And I just all of a sudden he was down there, and God love him, I'm going to have to buy him a new pair of shoes.
I remember saying to you when you started off your crisis, you could have him walking anywhere. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And now that's happening, that he is going out. And that figure looks remarkably like yourself from the back.
Yeah, it was Connell. You said that you pointed out that, in fact, you shared a photograph quite recently of the said place where he says he could be down there and up through, and I have actually started it. Up by the ABC trees, that photograph of the mist and stuff. But yeah, you says he could be down there and here, he could be down there and there, and I took your advice, and all of a sudden he is down there and there. But it was Connell, I think, was the first one to point out, hereby, that leaves a wee bit like you from the back.
Mm.
Yeah, and he sort of didn't at first, but he started to, and I really didn't notice it as much. In fact, I actually thought it looked more like my father from behind, and then people have since told me, well, you walk exactly the same as your dad, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Yeah,
he's been around a bit, like.
Yeah, and you know, there's some classic scenes there, and I've been looking over the last couple of months, and you've been so prolific turning these out, and you're not afeard to hide things, so you'll show people the blank canvas at the start, and then you'll show how you build those, and then interestingly, this lane in the middle of nowhere, just bits of green on either side, a bit of grey in the middle, can then turn into a snow scene. So it's like you're building the way the creator has built things. Mm. I find that you'll start off in the blank canvas and then you'll put in wee bits and you think, that's really good. But then you totally change it all. You put snow scenes in on top of a grey road and it all starts to go somewhere else. Is that the way you plan things?
Sometimes. The reason why I share from start to finish, well, there's a couple of reasons, but one of the main reasons is it's how people learn. So if anyone's following my page to actually get wee tips on how to paint, you know, there's no point in saying, you know, here's one I prepared earlier and there's half the thing. So I try to make it all as transparent as I can. And I think that stems from, I paint really quickly, you know what I mean? I could do a painting in 3 hours or I could do a painting in 3 days. Do you know what I mean? It all depends on what detail and fine stuff I put into it, but I get you get constant reminders all the time of there are other artists out there, you know. I get sent a lot of things, oh, this is what this guy's doing, this is what this guy's doing, this is what this guy's doing, and I'm going, yeah, great, you know, reminding you that, to me, in my mind, they're reminding you that there are better artists. So I try to be as transparent as I can. Sometimes they take a long time, sometimes they don't. I think if there is a general perception where an artist sits in front of a painting for a year and a half, and there's a general perception of that, some people take advantage of that and some people don't. Well, that took me 7 weeks to do, not doubting that it might have done. I can't understand for the life of me why it would take 7 weeks to do a painting. Do they sit and dot, have a cup of tea, do another dot, have a cup of tea, have a cigarette? So I try to be transparent with mine. You can work out from my time lapses how long I've spent on a painting. Effectively, most of the time lapses, unless I have to speed them up, are like 45 minutes. So, you know, you can count some of the time lapses up. There is work done in between some of them. If I remember not, you know, if I remember to do a time lapse or don't remember. But there's other ones that take 3-4 days, so the time lapses would be over 3 or 4 days, depending on what I'm trying to achieve. But I don't plan to just, I have a picture, sometimes I'm using a reference picture, to go back to your question actually. I have a reference picture, and what I'll do is, I'll break it into stages. So I'll take the back, the very last colour that I can see in the very back, and put it in. And so if you imagine I split into 5 or 6 layers if it needs it, so, and I paint it up from the reverse. But sometimes, like you pointed out, I just go, nah, I'm going to do this now instead. or I'll take a different scene and just completely change it around. You know, that little lane where the trees path to nowhere is one of them. It's just layers and layers and layers, and I hopefully show in the little videos of how I do it. You know what I mean? For such a small painting, it actually took quite a long time. There was that many different layers, and you have time to let it dry before you can go any further with it. You would see sometimes the wee sneaky heat gun coming out into some of my videos because I'm really going with it, you know. But I've maybe been sitting there in front of that painting for 10, 12 hours straight without eating.
Wow.
Just to go down, have a cigarette, go to the bathroom, get another can of booze up the stairs, bam. Next thing you know, it's pitch black outside. You're looking around, you're going, what's happened with the day? And then you've got an amazing painting, you know.
That's an interesting painting, but more interestingly is the playing words, path to nowhere, as in N-O-E, yeah. Where. So we're talking about Ballynoe Stone Circle, which is just outside Downpatrick,
yeah.
And a beautiful place. You know, you've captured that so well. But there's so much on that path, as you probably know, with everywhere you look, there's little figures, there's things hanging from trees. I actually remember in a bush and up around there, someone's wristband from the hospital was there with their date of birth. Obviously, they must have passed away. It's such a special place, Doxie.
Mm-hmm.
And what a lovely painting. But have you deliberately targeted Downpatrick scenes because of the exhibition? Because before that, I wouldn't have really seen you bringing Downpatrick into things.
I did want to paint some Downpatrick scenes for somebody from Downpatrick to buy a painting. There's no question of it. I've painted so many water scenes, castle, Killay castles, that I could nearly paint Killay Castle now from the top of my head. Struil Wells, for example, is beautiful down there. You can just sit down there for hours, listen to the birds and listen to the stream running down through the buildings, you know what I mean? There's so many places around in our local area, you know, County Down especially, I think, is one of the most beautiful places in Northern Ireland, you know, from St. John's up around Newcastle and along. Analong Harbour's stunning, beautiful, very hard to paint. You know, it took me, I think, 7 years to paint it. The cathedral you've got the old cathedral and stuff. We took a wee dander up round there. I don't know whether you've seen it or not.
Yeah.
And Saul Church and stuff. And it was actually a lady gave me the name of that painting, the Holy Hills of Saul. And it's all the drumlins, all the old buildings and the heritage and the stones, and you know, we live in a lovely part of the country, and just painting Killalay or painting around Killalay, just, you know, I think it sort of broadened my horizons a little bit more, you know.
Chatting with Chris on the Down About Down podcast.
You'd mentioned there, Downpatrick Cathedral, wow, what a painting. And I would say it's almost Christmassy.
Yes, it is, yeah. It is going to be, but without... I have it now with the Dandern man in. But it is going to be a Christmas card without him in.
Ah, okay.
So it is. And I'm toying with the idea of the Holy Hills of Saul as well, as a Christmas card. And of course there is Santas is standing around the town there somewhere in taking a wee break looking at the moon. He's going to be a Christmas card, so I'm definitely going to have two this year, possibly three.
Some of those will be on display in the exhibition, will the Doxie?
No, they're not ready yet. No. The printer, the publisher, he's actually to get back to me. I've contacted him about the proof. He sent me the proof. But they will be after Halloween, definitely, like the day after Halloween, or maybe 1 minute past Halloween, they'll be for sale. And I'm hoping that some of them will be for sale. I know some of them will be for sale in Killay, but I'll hopefully get some of them for sale in Downpatrick as well.
What do you call the exhibition?
A wee dander.
There's some point you that I'd noticed on your Facebook. Places I'm going and things I have seen, walks I took part in and places I've been. Which is quite a nice statement, but I think there's deeper meaning behind all this for you, Doxie, and some of these paintings, and you can explain that better.
There is. A lot of the paintings are areas that I have been in. They do hold a significant part of my getting better, you know, the walks especially. Walking's stupid. I do not like walking, but you walked. A lot of the paintings that you would see, there's one in particular actually, and I'll not point it out because I'll get all embarrassed and I'll take it out of the exhibition. But there's one in particular that is very special. And I think if you go to the exhibition and you see this one painting, you'll know that it is very special to me. And then, of course, there's the other ones of the Shambles in New York, where I've been very... It's called Walk Me Home. And I've been to the Shambles in New York. It's a medieval part of York. It's beautiful. Have you ever been?
I've been in York many, many, many years ago with the walls and things like that. And I was in a choir, actually, in York Cathedral, if I remember. But I was young at that time, so it wasn't really coming under my notice.
Well, you actually get to the cathedral. You can walk up through the Shambles and get to the cathedral. But I touched base with a very well-known photographer, Fran Wilson, from Yorkshire. And I asked him, you know, he did a painting, or he took a photograph and of two ladies walking. One had a red umbrella. With your permission, you know, I'd quite like to paint that. So I did, and it got so many views, it was unreal. And the two people from the photograph that Fran took, oh, I didn't tell you about this, no. Two people, then the two ladies, actually contacted. You know, whenever the photograph, like Fran has serious amount of followers, he's well into thousands, 10 or 12,000 followers, if not more. And they contacted, oh, well, this is great, you know what I mean? Or we're in a famous picture. So then I painted it, and it went just on his page, it went mad. And they contacted me, or they were talking about, oh, Lurva went viral again. And I went, no way, this is the actual people in the painting. And it was unreal. You go, yeah, I can't believe here we are now in a well photographed photo, and now we're in a bloody painting as well, you know. So yeah, and there was another one. So I'm actually meeting Fran this week. He's coming over. He's coming over to Belfast, so we're going to meet up for a couple of hours, and maybe take him. Hopefully, get a chance to take him on some of the sites in County Down. And then there was another one. There's three or four artists that are photographers that I've contacted, you know, and they very graciously give me thing. Oh, and by the way, I've used five or six now of Fran's. You know, I sent him the original painting of the two ladies, and he gave me full written permission to use any of his photographs ever. So I use that in the same principle. So if I use, there's another one like Adventures in Yorkshire, you know, fantastic photographs, and I painted one of her photographs. But if I was to use another one, I'll send her the original. So and that's trading. And there was another one, and I don't know how to pronounce it. It's she follows my page and I follow hers, and it's something for art. Mm-hmm. And she let me use her. So if I ask for a photograph and use more than one, then we come to an arrangement where I send them an original artwork, because they're giving me access to their original photographs. So it's trading, you know.
You know, you just took my next question. I was actually, I have a note down here, collaboration with other people, and that's what happens. But you're very, very good at bringing people on your Facebook followers, which I think you're probably about, 1,500 people or something following you at the minute. 1,800 actually, nearly 2,000. Yeah. 2,000. You know, you have a very good way of engaging those people. Okay, you're doing all this live, or you're painting on all your wee videos and things, but you throw things out there and go, suggest a name.
Yeah, the name suggestions always get a good one. Or where will I go today?
Yeah, you know, and
that got someone amazing. In fact, one of the suggestions from my Australian family, Diane Leahy, She suggested Murlock from Dundrum Castle, and Adele Gallagher had suggested that I go to Audley's. I was actually up in Dundrum last week and got a sandwich, which wasn't very good, I have to say. But anyway, I went up and I nuffed my sandwich into me up at Dundrum Castle and took some photographs. And when the feeling's right, when I fancy a wee trip to dander up around by Dundrum, maybe I'll dander up the up around the ruins, you know. So engaging the people is very, very important. You know, and then fortunately they share or they comment, and the more people that comment on your page, the more engagements you have, and the more engaging that you are, then Facebook will show it to more people. So it's a lot of work as well, because you have to post every single day, but I'm painting every single day, so it's not a hardship, you know.
I'm not going to go back over all those things we talked about, your background and how you came, but since we chatted last, it was probably about June, you had art classes, I mean, before that. I mean, are they still going, Duxie? Are you still out there, local art classes or further afield? What's been happening on that side of things?
Well, my art classes started again 2 weeks ago, but the next, there were just two little drop-in classes, so my next classes start in the block of six. They start again tomorrow evening, actually. Tomorrow evening. Then I was doing a little talk. I was asked by the ladies in Strangford to come down, some of which took part in an art class that I run last year in Strangford. It was lovely to see them again, and the cracking hugs was 90. And doing a little talk about a little bit of mindfulness and a little bit of how I do paintings and a wee bit of a demonstration. And hopefully then I'll get some more art, mindful art classes again, you know, coming up again. So, yeah.
I know you're getting good feedback, and I know people have sent you little thank yous, and somebody quoted that your kindness and patience showed through in your art classes, you know, and people really appreciate that. And I've watched you in action, and I get that, you know, you're good out there. And I know you go away down to fields in this area and you go camping, and sometimes I might join you.
Yeah.
And I know when I'm not wanted, because you just want to go there and paint. And and that's what you do, isn't it? You're out in the open. It seems to give you that, well, you have that sense of adventure, but it seems to, I don't know, it seems to be therapy for you.
I think being in nature, where I was this year, sure, well, you know yourself, you called out. Pitched, by the time I got everything pitched and whatnot else, and it rained solid for 9 days. But I was in an oak woodland right behind me. When it stopped raining, you could go for a dander. When it was raining, underneath the tarpaulin, I painted. I think I painted that time. I was away for 13 days, I think it was, and I painted 3 or 4 paintings.
Beautiful surroundings,
music on, solar powers charging all that needed to be charged. 3 miles away from Killaloe, I might as well have been 3 million miles away.
Did I see somewhere where you took an outdoor class as well?
That was there, same place. So the girls call themselves the Happy Little Art Club, which I find very, very funny. And as a thank you for coming to the class and whatnot else, I would give up a day. And we have a road trip. And you want to see the food they brought that day? It was absolutely horrendous. There was buns and sandwiches. And because I had everything set up, you know, from the camping, you know, I went and got the extra table. And you know, the food, I was eating chocolate cake and everything for 3 or 4 days after. I must have put on at least a stone. But yes, as a thank you, just they joined me for the day's painting. In fact, the actual painting that I did that day, I sold, you know.
Brilliant.
I sold that painting and they thoroughly enjoyed it, you know. That's trading.
And I think the last time in June I spoke to some of the Happy Little Art Club, Tracy and Kerry and Kelsey, and I've noticed, especially Tracy, I probably shouldn't highlight anyone, but I've noticed very recently some of her paintings started to come through, and she's upped her game.
She has, yeah. She, I'm astonishingly pleased with what she's doing, you know, what she's learned about herself while she is painting. You know, the barriers, a lot of the barriers of freedom to express in the paintings have come down, or she actually realised that they're not there at all, you know. But all the, like Kelsey and Kerry that you mentioned, you know, they already are established artists. You know, they are artists in their own right. They're just learning how I would do things, you know, so they're amalgamating their own techniques in with some of the ways I do things, you know. And Mandy's paintings are turning out amazing, you know.
That's a success, Vlux.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. I'd like to believe so.
Chatting with Chris on the Down About Down podcast.
You're still at other wee bits and pieces. You've still commissioned works and things like that. But one thing that caught my eye in the last couple of months was Zach Mack, little Zach Mack, who is putting his name out there at the minute in the music field. And you did a painting of him. And I thought you didn't do, like, portraits is the word. I thought you didn't do that. You should really do a few more. And once I seen that, wow.
Yes, I've done, I think, four or five. Zach's is mind-blowing where he's, you know, you knew the first time that wee fella, you know, that young man played up at the Cornerstone Fest. It was unreal. You know, that guitar is an extension of that young man's arms. And the confidence change, you know, I listened to your podcast and you see the difference in his confidence, you know what I mean? From the first year to the second year, you know, but we went to his album launch was absolutely amazing. I mean, the roof was bouncing. In fact, I don't think anywhere on the Armour Road couldn't hear it. You know, place was rammed downstairs. I'm sure they just turned the music off downstairs so they could hear him. The atmosphere was fantastic. But somebody took a really good black and white photograph. And I was sitting in front of the easel going, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go today? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm just flicking through Facebook as I did. And I went, oh, here, how long? Whoa. And I seen the photograph and I went, So I cracked open the oils and everything gets plastered, you know, when you're using oils and when you're used to using acrylics, you have to clean everything down, because if you went to go back to acrylics again, it's like somebody sprayed silicone all over the place, you know, so you have to clean everything down. But anyway, so we're cracking into it, and 1 minute it looked like him, then it didn't, then it did, then it didn't, then it did, then it didn't, then it did, then it did, then it got more and more like him. I went, actually, that's starting to look really good. So then let it dry for a little bit and then come back up and went. And it's like, it's really strange, because the last time I did portraits, I did Connell, Kevin Young and Stephen Rafferty's. And myself, actually did one of myself. So there were one after the other. So when you went into the studio, there's these four blokes looking at you everywhere you looked, you know, because it takes forever for them to dry. Yeah. So Zach has actually been watching down at the easel painting, me painting now for about, I think that was 6 weeks ago I did that. Yeah, yeah. So he is dry, and hopefully he'll get down to the exhibition and I'll give it to him.
And not only you're an established songwriter, but I see you're now doing Connell's new, something to do with his promotional video, is that right? For the Black Dog Moon, I think it's called?
Yes, his new group, Black Dog Moon, they're releasing a new song. I think it's called Sinners. But anyway, I did a painting while I was on my last camping trip, actually. And I went, what's missing from that painting? So anyway, I did another one, because there's a story behind the one that I did at thing. It got really damp. The board all disintegrated, and I had to take the canvas off the board. Yeah, but listen, it's fine. 2 days. 2 days of painting, and it was, you know, it's now sitting without a board on it. But anyway, so I did a similar type painting, only I put the four dogs in it. And I was on the fence about the painting. But then the next thing you know, he just goes, here, I have a wee montage coming up. And he was very gracious and put it into the last painting, which I'm very thankful for, or the last clip. So yeah, it's weird the way things have went though, isn't it? It's weird the way, you know, considering where I was 10, 20 years ago, you know, and what I was doing to where I am now, and where things have seemed to be gently just meandering, dandering. just off on a wee dander down the road in front of me.
And you were dandering around the roads here locally, hiding paintings again, I think?
Yes, so that was... I'm not allowed to talk about that. No, that's all top secret.
All right.
Yes, we did a... Something quite remarkable happened, which you will get the scoop on, obviously. Something quite remarkable happened there during the summer, and we gave away a painting, as I do. Young Thomas Gribben got it. But I can't really talk. I'm not allowed to talk about it. I shared the photograph of Thomas winning the painting, which I was allowed to do, but I can't really, I'm not allowed to talk any more about that until the spring of next year.
Oh.
On ITV at 7 something o'clock.
Oh my goodness. Well, that's a shock.
That, yeah, yeah. But Connell and I were doing that, and it was quite, wow, what is happening. When I was contacted about that, I was going, what, really, who, me, what, when, where, you know. And that was, it was a bit, but then exactly the same thing sitting here being interviewed by yourself. You know, if you had asked me 6 years ago, would you have been on a radio show or on the Down About Down podcast? Huh? What? Me? You know, it's exactly the same feeling. It's exactly the same experience as in me sitting here in front of you now. You know, the only thing is I can tell people that I'm sitting here in front of you now. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
It's exactly the same thing. In fact, I was talking to Zach Mack's album launch. I was talking to Robin Elliott, and we're just chit-chatting away. And then all of a sudden I had this, you know, we're talking about the old times, and we're talking about things, and about things in our past that we don't regret because you learn from them and stuff like this. And then you had one of them holy moments, you know, like, oh, I'm actually sitting here. I've been on Robin Elliott's television show. I'm sitting here talking to Robin Elliott in a pub in Belfast. And you're going, what's happening? Do you know what? Where? What? And you have that little moment of, right, you need to breathe. Or you're going to hyperventilate. And this isn't real. This is like a dream. And then here I am sitting now across from you with a microphone in my face. You know, it's a nice feeling, I like it, but it's grounding, that if you can change something, and here's the message, there's always has to be a message for me in it, you know, if you can change one thing in your life, change it, it'll lead the other things changing, you know, I have people try to remind me of past, you know, and as I was talking to Connell just the other day, and when you're constantly reminded of your past, is to keep you there in your past. People would can't get their heads around why things can change in your life. You're constantly reminded. All you have to do is move on from your past. And the rest just falls into place, you know. So it's been a bloody roller coaster this year, actually, hasn't it? Now you come to mention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
2 or 3 exhibitions, raising money for charities, and, well... Actually, yeah, you've just brought a lot of it home to me.
But you are, to me, you're an inspiration, you know, everyone about you and the way all that progression has come about. Even though you'll say, oh, I don't like that paint, I don't like this, you know, amazing, amazing stuff. Now you're exhibiting, and just to remind everyone, you're in the St. Patrick Centre the whole of October?
The whole month. I think I'm taken down just before Halloween because of the Halloween holidays and stuff. So it's running for the... pretty much the whole month of October.
Of course, it's in Market Street in Downpatrick. The exhibition is free to get into. It's in a public access area, so you don't have to go into the St. Patrick Centre per se, pay to go in and see exhibits and things. Where you're exhibiting, it's a free access, isn't that right?
Yes, it is a public domain, so you go into the St. Patrick Centre, which is a beautiful place, actually. Very intimidating to have an exhibition in it. So you just go in and go to the left, and you go through the wee shop, underneath the stairs for the Cracker Cafe that's upstairs. Apparently very, very nice. Haven't had it in it myself, but maybe that'll change. And the exhibition's down below. on the left-hand side, and it's free to access.
How many paintings are we going to see? Are you going to divulge that?
Well, I went in to check. I went in to check, and I counted there was some beautiful artwork up last. There were prints, and I think they had 15. So I went armed with 15, you know, but I think there's 20. Yeah, there's 20.
And there's a chance to buy these, isn't that what this is about? Yes. It's not just exhibiting your work, you can actually purchase these, Doxy. But I take it you're not going to be there every day. How does that work?
You go in and the gallery take the payment. If you're going to buy the painting, they take the payment and mark it as sold. So they handle all that end of the thing, you know. I am going to see if I can go in maybe one of the days that I'm off and maybe just go in there and paint for a day. So it'd be nice to meet some of the people. It would be interesting to get some of the feedback, probably quell a lot of fears and quench a lot of fears that I'm having. I'm hopefully going to get in, maybe do a bit of painting, and or maybe just go in disguise and stand in the lurch and lurk about in the corners in the darkness and listen to what people are saying. No, I'm going to try and arrange that I can go in.
Well, all I'm going to say to you, if you're going to lurk about in disguise, don't be wearing the hat and have the ponytail at the back and turn your back on anybody, because they're going to know who's walking on those paintings.
I'll leave the coat at home. I'll leave the coat at home, so well, Chris, yeah.
Well, listen, Doxy, that is brilliant, and what a conversation as per usual. Listen, we're going to wish you all the best for the exhibition, mate.
Thank you very much indeed, Chris.
A big thank you once again to Doxy Leakey for taking part in the Down About Down podcast. Do pop down to that exhibition at the St. Patrick Centre, located at 53A Market Street in Downpatrick. And you can have a good gander at the A Wee Dander exhibition. Wasn't that good? I can guarantee you will not be disappointed. For more information on Doxy's work, pop along to his Facebook site titled My Gallery Doxy Leakey. That's My Gallery Doxy Leakey, or his Instagram at mygallery.doxy. That's mygallery.doxy. Thank you once again for lending me your ears and listening to another edition of the Down About Down podcast with me, Chris Scott. Podcast has now reached in excess of 14,000 downloads, and thank you for every one of you who have downloaded. It's available to listen to on Spotify and all other platforms out there. You can contact me, of course, via the Down About Down podcast Facebook with Chris Scott, or email downaboutdown@outlook.com. So until the next time, stay safe, folks.
If you would like to get in touch with Chris at the Down About Down podcast, then email downaboutdown@outlook.com. You've been listening to Down About Down podcast, hosted and produced by Chris Scott, for your ears only.